So, Cardiff, did you ever watch the Sopranos, the TV show? Was that a show you watched?
Wait, you mean like how many times have I rewatched
it? Good. Or... Okay. I'm very glad to hear this because there is an episode of The Sopranos that I've been thinking about all week because I think it helps explain a kind of complicated aspect of financial regulation that has been in the news a lot lately. And in the scene I'm thinking of, Carmela Soprano, wife, of course, of mob boss Tony, is starting to get nervous about her financial security. She's kind of not trusting him. She wants some money to herself. So she does this interesting thing. She gathers up a bunch of cash, and she goes to four different banks, and at each bank, she deposits a very particular amount of money.
$9,900.
Interestingly, at $10,000, we're required by law to notify the IRS of the transaction.
Oh, really? I want it in something safe, something old economy, maybe treasuries.
If Carmela had deposited $10,000, that bank would have alerted the government, and that information would have been handed over to an agency called the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN.
FinCEN was created in the early 1990s. It's part of the U.S. Treasury Department, and it's helped catch drug lords and Wall Street criminals. And FinCEN has been in the news recently because of records that it has on the financial activities of Michael Cohen, who was, of course, President Donald Trump's personal lawyer.
This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, FinCEN.
FinCEN!
It turns out the whole story of Michael Cohen reveals this vast network of banks and regulators that is operating behind the scenes of our economy.
And is really one of the linchpins of our economy.
Today's indicator is 2 million. 2 million is the number of suspicious financial transactions that get sent to FinCEN every year. FinCEN, again, stands for the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. That is a lot of transactions. A big chunk of them get flagged as being possible money laundering, but there's other stuff, too.
Eric Talley is a law professor at Columbia University who specializes in financial regulation.
Things like tax fraud, identity theft, various types of securities fraud. Cryptocurrency fraud now is a much bigger deal. And in fact, big transfers from my bank account into Bitcoin, even elder abuse, right? If there's an older relative and suddenly there are these $10,000, $20,000 deductions from a savings account, that's actually a way to ferret out that type of activity as well. It's almost inconceivable to think about an effective anti-money laundering regime or anti-tax evasion regime that could do its job very well without FinCEN.
All right, so it works like this. A bank will notice some suspicious activity, either a deposit over $10,000 or really anything that seems strange, and it'll report that transaction to the government in something called a suspicious activity report.
And banks have employees who spend all of their time looking for this stuff. And those employees work with the government, and then everyone together kind of forms this little watcher web across the country. FinCEN activity, though, went to an entirely new level after 9/11.
As people were trying to piece together, how the 9/11 attacks were orchestrated, there were relatively large flows of funds that were coming into the country. Some of them got tagged. A lot of them didn't get tagged with suspicious activity reports.
As part of the Patriot Act, a law that was passed in response to 9/11, FinCEN was expanded. The government asked banks to hand over even more data and be on the lookout for more and different kinds of activities. And banks had to hire a lot more people to comply with this. And they also had to start finding new and more nuanced ways to ferret out suspicious money movement.
You know how they spot card counters in Las Vegas? When suddenly someone at the blackjack table starts to make radically different bets. And it's sort of a similar sort of a thing here. If suddenly you start to see behavioral patterns that are vastly different from the ones that you've seen before, usually with big increases in either deposits or withdrawals, that's going to start to flag something.
It almost sounds like kind of the things that they do when you get the call, we think there's fraudulent account or activity on your account, and they read you off like a few kind of uncharacteristic sounding transactions, which in certain cases has just been an embarrassing shopping spree I went on. But in some cases, like actually someone got a hold of my credit card. And
yeah, you're exactly right. When the bank ends up calling you to say, hey, there's some interesting activity that's going on here, there's a decent chance that the bank has in fact filed a suspicious activity report as well.
Just, really?
Yeah.
So like one of my shopping sprees possibly triggered a suspicious activity report?
Yeah.
That, oh, that, it was part, no.
It, Yeah, I think it was that Versace purchase. But you
have to scale way down. It's public radio shopping spree. But, you know,
fair enough.
It's a triggered a suspicious activity report. Like, I probably have an SAR on me.
Oh, it's not uncommon. Like, think about this. 2 million of these things per year. And so, you know, it is often the case that when their fraud desk calls you to clear something, you know, depending on what you say to them, that may be part of what goes in
Great.
To a suspicious activity. Yeah, yeah, I know.
So, Stacey,
yes.
You have a suspicious activity report on you.
And so do like 2 million other people.
Also, in fairness, like, I don't think this report is actually about you. It's about the people that tried to screw you out of your money.
Yes, those people right. at Anthropology.
Yeah, exactly. Also, with a suspicious activity report is Michael Cohen. We know that he has at least a few of these, including payments that Cohen seems to have received from the drug company Novartis and an investment group tied with a Russian oligarch. But the magazine The New Yorker also reported last week that there were other suspicious activity reports about Michael Cohen's financial activity that seemed to have vanished. They detailed millions of dollars in suspicious transactions, according to a whistleblower who leaked news of the missing files to The New Yorker.
That is a very odd thing to have happen. You know, the big strength of this database is its permanence and its ability to link up various points along the map so that you can go back and track previous suspicious activity reports. So to the extent that an SAR or multiple SARs are scrubbed from the system, it's a very peculiar thing to have happen.
What is FinCEN's reputation? I mean, does it have a reputation for being, like, incorruptible, or is it...
For a government agency or sub-agency, it's got a reasonably good reputation. You know, one of the reasons that you don't hear that much about FinCEN is that there aren't that many people that have had too many things to kvetch about when it comes to FinCEN.
They've been pretty good.
Yeah, I think most people sort of think it's been operating, in some ways, it's been operating surprisingly well, given how complex and difficult, bank disclosures can be. You know, I think a lot of people thought, well, this is sort of a fool's errand, a hopeless mandate. And FinCEN seems to have put together a type of a collaboration between administrators, government officials, and private institutions that seems to work.
Regarding those missing Michael Cohen files, the Treasury Department, which again oversees FinCEN, released a statement that did not directly address those files in question, but the department did say that sometimes files that seem to be missing have merely been restricted in terms of who can access them.
But Eric says even just the possibility that FinCEN might have been breached or that someone could infiltrate the system is a really big deal. Not just now, not just because of politics, but he says for the sake of the stability of the U.S. economy.
It's hard to measure it directly, but indirectly, there are all kinds of reasons to think that having a regulatory authority like FinCEN turns out to be really important for supporting economic activity within a country. We got to be able to trust that the integrity of the system remains intact.
Eric says in addition to catching criminals and making the U.S. seem like a not super welcoming place for criminals to launder money, an incorruptible FinCEN also makes the U.S. economy seem above board and safe so that people in the country and overseas will feel secure investing in it.
Eric says agencies like FinCEN are one of the major differences between a healthy, functioning economy and an economy, you know, run by Tony Soprano.
Dollar General has more than 13,000 stores. That's comparable to Starbucks and more than Walmart. Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson. 1A spoke to the former CEO of Dollar General about striking gold in rural America. You'll find that conversation on the 1A podcast.